Shus, the Rosh Hashivas. So I thought we'd learn a sugya tonight, which is a sugya that begins, of course, with Luchas Yom Kippurim, appropriately so, but really touches on Machos Asuros and Kashrus in general, and really the theme of the sugya is going to be some of the similarities and differences between the Isser of Achila as it plays out on Yom Kippur, comparison and contrast, the Isser of Achila plays out in other areas of Halacha, namely in the general rules of Luchas Kashrus. So the sugya begins at the end of Maseches Yuma, where the Gemara already points out a very important difference between the regular halachas of Machalas Asuros and contrast Yom Kippurim, and that is in terms of the shear, in terms of how much one has to eat in order to be in full violation of this particular Isser. So we know that when it comes to other halachas of Machalas Asuros, so the din is very clear that there's a halacha Moshe Mesinai of a shear of a kezayis, stabachil is bekezayis, and therefore a person would not be chayav malchus, or in a case where there would be an Isser Kores, one would not be subject to any punishment unless one ate the shear of a kezayis. The shear of a kezayis has to be eaten within a certain time span as well, kedechil is bras. And that's halacha Moshe Mesinai in terms of all of Hilchas Achila. The Gemara does tell us at the end of Maseches Yuma that chas yishia, we paskin is asur min haToros, even less than a kezayis, is definitely prohibited in the daraisa. But in order to be chayav malchus or kores, so the shear is a kezayis. Nevertheless, when it comes to Yom Kippur, so the Gemara tells us the shear is very, very different. And here we have a different halacha Moshe Mesinai, that the shear is not a kezayis, but rather the shear is the size of a keseves agasa, the size of a large date. My high, why is it that the Isser of Yom Kippur is formulated in a different shear? So the Gemara explains, it's very simple, that the Torah never says concerning Yom Kippur not to eat. The Torah says there's the mitzvah inui, v'nisim v'snaf shesechem. Then the Torah repeats it and says a person who doesn't involve themselves in this act of inui, a person who violates the Isra of inui, is in violation of alav and is chayav kares. Since the Torah always formulates the quote-unquote prohibition of achila on Yom Kippur in terms of inui, this comes to teach us that the shear is not a shear of achila, it's not a shear of a kezayis, but rather the real question you have to ask yourself is the activity that I'm involving myself in, is that a breaking of the inui or not? So if a person only eats a kezayis, we assume that doesn't constitute a violation of inui. If a person eats more and more and more, and he reaches the point of a keseves agasa, then he has reached a point where he's no longer in the state of inui, and that's the prohibition, that's the isser kares of eating, of course, what eating on Yom Kippur. So this halacha, this distinction between Yom Kippur and other machalas asuros, that concerning the shear is very clear and very obvious, and is a direct result of the nuance that the Torah uses, or the nuance the Torah does not use, but not invoking the term of achila. This teaches us this halacha that the shear is not a shear of a kezayis, a shear of achila, rather a shear of a keseves agasa, which is the size of equivalent to a lack of inui. The question is, can we take this Gemara even one step further? The fact that the Gemara highlights the fact that the word achila doesn't appear concerning Yom Kippur, and that impacts on the shear, are there other halachas that also follow suit from that same premise? So there is a sugi in the second parak of Maseches Pesachim, where the Gemara discusses the concept of eating things shalai kederech achila. Let's say if a person would eat chaylev in an abnormal fashion, oichol chaylev chai, if a person would eat chaylev in a not a normal way of eating it, so the Gemara says that would not constitute a nisa deraisa. One would not be chayav. And only for that, Pasha says it's not even a nisa deraisa, eating shalai kederech achila. The Gemara says, however, there are a few exceptions to that rule. Sometimes that ptur, that exemption of eating things in an abnormal fashion, does not apply, even on the level of deraisa. And the Gemara highlights two different areas of Machalos Asuros where that ptur does not exist. One of them is basa b'cholov, and the other one is kili hakerem. Basa b'cholov, cooking flesh and milk together, and then eating the resulting food, is of course an issa deraisa. Kili hakerem, if a person violated the prohibition of planting one's grain in such a manner together with one's grapes, so the resulting produce is also min haTorah, one is not allowed to eat, one is not permitted to derive benefit from Kili HaKerem. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Pesachim in the second parak that if a person eats either Bas B'cholov or Kili HaKerem Shaloi Kederech, one would be Chayev Malchus. So that would clearly constitute an Issa D'Araisa. Mayhai, Manishtana, these two Isurim from all other Isurim. So the Gemara explains, it's very simple, that all other Isurim, that the Torah uses the phrase Achila, so Achila has a certain connotation. Achila means Kederech Achila. If you eat something in an abnormal manner, that's not called doing an act of achila. But these two isurim, the Torah never speaks about achila. The Torah never says don't eat bas b'chol. The Torah never says don't eat kili hakerem. The Torah words and formulates the isurim of achila concerning these two isurim in almost circumvented way. The Torah speaks about lo sabashav di b'chol avimo. You're not allowed to cook bas b'chol together. So the Torah Shabbat Pe explains to us that one of the three times that the phrase lo sabashav appears is coming to teach us, i.e., you're not allowed to eat bas b'cholov. But the Teresh B'Chsav doesn't say Beferi, you should not let eat. The Torah doesn't use the phrase Achila. So even though obviously this is the din, this is the halacha Moshe Sinai, the din deraisa, that one is not permitted to eat basa b'chalov, since the Torah doesn't use the magic word Achila, therefore we do not exempt you for Shaloki derech Achila. And the same lumdus is true when it comes to Kilei HaKerem. The Torah never says explicitly don't eat Kilei HaKerem. The Torah says in Parshas Kiseitei, Pentikta Shavalei HaKerem Shatizra. The Torah uses the phrase to describe the prohibition, the resulting prohibition of Kilei HaKerem, Pentikdash. The Gemara in the second breath of Kedushin tells us that Pentikdash is really a combination of two words, Pentukar Eish, namely that if you plant Kilei HaKerem, you're going to have to destroy it, you're going to have to burn it, teaching us that one would not be permitted to eat or to derive benefit from it. So there's no question that to eat or to be nana from Kilei HaKerem is a problem. It's an issur deraisa to eat Kilei HaKerem. One's chayav malchus for eating Kilei HaKerem. But if one does it shaloi kederech, there is no ptur. Once again, the reason being, since the Torah never used the magic word achila, therefore we have no right to exempt you for shaloi kederech. So that's the principle, that's the klal in the Gemara in Masechet Pesach, in the second parak. If and when the Torah speaks about a lashon achila, achila always means to exempt shaloi kederech. When the Torah formulates an issur with a different lashon, whether that different lashon be lo sabashel, whether that different lashon be pentikdash betukadesh, so then the resulting p'tur of shaloi kederech does not exist. So the Shagas Aryeh takes these two Gemaras, the Gemara Maseches Yuma that we mentioned before, together with the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, and puts the two together and comes up with the following chiddush. The Shagas Aryeh suggests that just as in the realm of Basa B'Cholov and Kilei HaKerem, there is no p'tur of shaloi kederech, so too in the realm of eating on Yom Kippur, there would be no exemption of eating shaloi kederech. If a person ate on Yom Kippur in an abnormal fashion, he would also be chayav kares. The reason being obvious, if the Torah would have said, lo sochlu b'yom kippurim, then it would have said, achila min zachila, shaloi kederech is not called achila. But the Torah doesn't say, lo sochlu b'yom kippurim. The Torah says roundabout, it uses a different word, a different phrase entirely. So whenever the Torah doesn't use that word, achila, so then we extend the prohibition even to shaloi kederech, exactly the same way Chazal do it, vis-a-vis both b'cholov and Kilei HaKerem. So it's a chiddush gadol of the Shagas Aryeh, that the din of shaloi kederech, the p'tur of shaloi kederech, would not apply to Yom Kippur. So the Shagas Aryeh now raises a question to himself. He says, if that is the case, that the p'tur of shaloi kederech doesn't apply, it seems to be contradicted by a Mishnah in the very end of Maseches Yuma. The Mishnah of Maseches Yuma speaks about eating foods that are einam ru'uyim li'achila. The Mishnah speaks about eating very, very bad tasting kinds of foods. And the Mishnah says, potter, the Mishnah says that one is not chayev for eating bad tasting foods. Whether that translates to mean that it's actually mutter l'chadchila to do it is a machlekes rishonim. We are machmir that for a person to eat even bad tasting foods would still be an issur midrabbanan. That's what's called achshivei. That's the Rosh in the second parak of Pesachim explains that even though midaraisa, eating rotten, spoiled food, is not an issur deraisa in Yom Kippur, but it's still an issur midrabbanan because you are machshivet by eating it, but you are eating it, you are granting significance to it, so that would still be prohibited midrabbanan. That's of course the part of the background of a whole very complicated discussion in the poskim about different kinds of medications that are not necessarily life-threatening on Yom Kippur, but would one be permitted to take bitter-tasting pills, other kind of bad-tasting foods, bad-tasting medications on Yom Kippur, putting aside medicine issues on Yom Kippur in general, issues of Shabbos and Yom Tov, but just in terms of eating on Yom Kippur, would this be subject to this Issa Derabban of Achshavei? That's also a major machlokes between the poskim. But on a level of the Araisa, there's no question that if the food tastes terrible, food tastes horrible, so then that is permissible on a level of the Araisa. So the Shagas Aryeh asks on himself, according to what I just said, that there's no p'tur of shaloi kederech in Yom Kippur, because it doesn't say achila. So how come the Mishnah tells us that you're allowed to eat bad-tasting food, at least when the Raisa for sure is permissible? What is the difference between shaloi kederech and bad-tasting food? So the Shagas Aryeh explains, and the Rechvarim, the Mekor Chaim, the Nesivus picks this up in a little bit of a different context as well, that there are really two different halachas going on over here. There's one din of shaloi kederech, and then there's another din of ochlin she'enem ru'uyim, and they're not really the same. Shaloi kederech achila means that there's nothing really fundamentally bad about the cheftza that you're eating. Raw food is not particularly bad, it's just not ready yet. You haven't gotten around to cooking it yet, but there's not a hafkor, it's not a ptur in the cheftza itself. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with the cheftza, it's just you as a gavra are doing it in a bizarre manner. A normal person doesn't sit down and eat a raw piece of meat. But in terms of mitzad hachevtza, there's nothing bad about the chevtza of a raw meat. And therefore the Shagas Aryeh argues that when it comes to all other Yisurim in the Torah of Achila. So then we have an exemption called Shalei Kederech. So if the Gavra eats in an abnormal fashion, he would be potter. That's what the Gemara says, Eichel Chelev Chai would be potter on other areas of Halacha, in terms of other Machos Asuras, in terms of the prohibition of Chelev. But if a person just merely eats something, Mitzah HaGavra, in an abnormal fashion, he would in fact be Chayev on Yom Kippur, argues the Sheikh Sariyeh, because there is no Ptur HaGavra on Yom Kippur, just as there's no Ptur HaGavra for Basel B'cholav, there's no Ptur HaGavra for Kili HaKerem, because the Torah doesn't say Achila. However, when there's something lacking in the Chevtza, when the Chevtza is spoiled, when the Chevtza is rotten, when the Chevtza itself is so bitter that it's not fit for consumption anymore, so then the Shagasai argues that's a whole different halacha. That's a din that it's not called Achila B'chlal, that's not called a Chevtza V'Ochel, it's not called an entity that is eaten altogether, that's not just a Ptua Mitzad HaGavra, that's a Havkoa Mitzad HaChevtza, and that din would apply equally to Yom Kippur as well. The Isra in Yom Kippur is, I'm not allowed to break my inui through food. If this is no longer halachically considered to be in the category of food for these purposes, so then one would not be in violation of Yom Kippur. So the Sheikh Esayeh walks this tightrope between sometimes we find abnormal eating would be chayv in Yom Kippur and sometimes not. And the question you have to ask yourself is it a hafkoh mitzad agavra or is it a hafkoh mitzad achevtza? But notwithstanding the Sheikh Esayeh, it would appear from the Rambam that this is not the case. It would appear from the Rambam that the Ptur of Shalei Kederech would apply to Yom Kippur as well. And the question becomes, isn't the argument of the Sheikh Esayeh correct? After all, the Torah doesn't use the word Achila by Yom Kippur. So the Torah, one could suggest that here the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yuma that there's a very real reason why the Torah doesn't use the word Achila. There's a very unique, special, Halacha Moshe Messina reason why the Torah doesn't use the word Achila by Yom Kippur. To teach us the fact that the shiur is different. We started off at the beginning of the shiur tonight, highlighting the fact that the amount that one eats on Yom Kippur and eats for treifos is not identical. That distinction, gufa, is derived from the lack of a lashon achila. One could argue that is the reason and the only reason why the Torah doesn't use the lashon achila when it comes to Yom Kippur. Unlike Bas Mecholav, unlike Kili HaKerem, where the Torah doesn't use the lashon achila to teach us the distinction between Shalei Kederech and not, here we already see the Torah doesn't, we already see why the Torah does not use the word Achila. The sole purpose for not expressing the Isra of Yom Kippur, Veloshon Achila, is only to be Mirameh, only to hint to us, only to indicate to us that there's a difference in terms of Shia. But in terms of other aspects of Achila, perhaps other aspects of Kashrus, maybe the halachas are in fact the same. So it's unclear what the din should be. Sheikh Esayeh argues that Yom Kippur should be closer to the model of Basa B'cholav and Kili HaKerem, and from the Mashmos HaRambam is that that's not correct, that the Yom Kippur is in fact closer to the regular model of Kashrus. Bein Lefi Sheikh Esayeh, Bein Lefi the Mashmos HaRambam, if there's something which is lacking in the Chevtza of the food, so then everybody would agree ultimately that that would be Potter. Okay, again, that's a Beferish Mishnah. Whether that translates to mean Mutter or not is a Machlokes HaRishonim. We who Paskin that it does not translate to mean Mutter, it's still also Mishim Achshavei. And there's a further Machlokes HaPaskin, does the Svar of Achshavei apply when you're eating it not because you really particularly want it, but because you're taking it for medication? But Akol Parim, on the love of Deraisa, we do have two different approaches, whether the Din of Shalei Kederech would apply or not. So again, so we started out by highlighting the fact that we all know one's not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, but it's unclear what the relationship between the Isra of eating on Yom Kippur and other areas of Halacha is. So we had one possible nafkamina, one real nafkamina that the Gemara gives vis-a-vis the Shir, and then we have another potential difference if you go down the root of the Sheikh Esayeh vis-a-vis Shalei Kederech Achila. Are there any other, perhaps, differences between general rules of Kashrus in contrast to Yom Kippur? So there is a Gemara in the 7th parak of Maseches Chulin, where the Gemara tries to pinpoint exactly what moment in time is considered to be the act of Achila. Everybody knows that you take food, put it into your mouth, chew it, goes down, ends up in your stomach. So somewhere along that way is considered to be the Achila HaMur B'Torah. But it's unclear precisely, in terms of biologically, what moment in time, what place in the digestive system is actually the Maisa Achila really taking place. So the Gemara presents a machlekes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan describes Achila as being hanas garam, that when the food goes down the throat, again, also a little bit unclear what exactly that means, what precisely biologically point is that referring to, but it's clearly at a higher point. Rish Lakish describes Achila as being hanas meayim, when it reaches lower part of the digestive system. Again, also not 100% clear anatomically what that's corresponding to, but clearly there is a machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan is viewing Achila at a much higher point, at the point of an Asgaron. Once it already goes down, we would call down the tube, so it's already considered to be the Achila is over. According to Reish Lakish, no, Achila does not actually take place until a little bit of a later point, the point of Hanasa Hame'ayim. We paskin the halacha like Rabbi Yochanan. One possible machlokes that would emanate, one possible nafkamina that would emanate from this machlokes in Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish would revolve around the following kind of a shayla. Actually, we had this shayla one time in Maisa, it was a long time ago. This goes back to, I won't mention the yeshiva by name, it doesn't know which yeshivas I've learned down the years, probably figure it out. But one particular yeshiva could happen in any yeshiva. I remember I was sitting in the bismedesh, it was late at night, and a boy comes back from the dorm, walks into the yeshiva, as white as a ghost. He says, "Gotta talk to me quickly." I said, "Well, what's the problem?" He said, "Well, I just went back to the dorm, and I was a little bit hungry, and I knew I had a piece of cake on the table, and I didn't want to wake up my roommate. It was dark in the room, so I just started to munch on the piece of cake, and then it just didn't taste right. And I picked it up and walked outside to where the light was, and I saw it was swarming with bugs. And he had already swallowed a significant part of the cake. He wanted to know, is he mechuyev to throw up or not?" That was a shayla. So I said to him, I think it's a machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether you're mechuyev to throw up. According to Rabbi Yochanan, I said, what are you going to gain by throwing up? Unless you want to argue that the Gemara says that machos osus metamtim is halev, so they somehow impact on a person's nesham is halev, that's really a meta halachic issue, quasi meta halachic. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, in terms of the pure halach, in terms of achila, what are you going to gain by throwing up? You already did the ma'is achila, went down already, finished, over, gemara. But according to Reish Lakish, assuming, again, it's not clear exactly what, I don't want to analyze exactly how far the Shratzim had made their way down the digestive tract, but maybe according to Reish Lakish, it would be something to be gained. So I informed them the good news is that we passed in the halacha like Rabbi Yochanan, so I didn't think that was such a good idea. The bad news, I told him, I threw out the cake, but I find I could die to eat the rest of it. So this shayla about how exactly you define achila, is achila defined by Anas Meyayim or halacha by Anas Garam? So the Mechaschinich has a chiddush gadol. The Mechaschinich says that b'medav b'mamurim this machlokas exists. This is by chazir, by nevelas atreifus, by shiratzim, things of that nature, which are basically a function of achila. So one could argue that according to Yochanan, achila means Anas Garam. But what about Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, the Torah doesn't speak about Achila per se, the Torah speaks about Inui, and that was the source, where the Shir is very, very different when it comes to Inui. So it suggests in Chas Chinuch that maybe when it comes to the Inui of Yom Kippur, so maybe the Halacha says, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees to Reish Lakish, everybody concedes the fact that you have to have a combination of Hanos Goron and Hanos Meyayim in order to constitute Achila. So in theory, I guess, if you wanted to borrow that shiloh over to Yom Kippur, if a person by mistake ate in Yom Kippur and realized right away, so maybe he would gain something by throwing it up. Because according to the Shtikl Torah of Mechas Chinuch, so then he hasn't technically violated the Yisr until it reaches whatever point that is, biologically, until it reaches that point of Anos Meyayim. So unlike other Mechalos Asuros, where once it reaches the point of Anos Goran, it's over its history, according to the Mechas Chinuch, when it comes to Yom Kippur, so maybe the Shir changes a little bit. The Mechas Chinuch then goes on to say that don't mistakenly think that on Yom Kippur all you need is Anos HaMeyayim and you don't need Anos Gor. No, that he doesn't think is correct. He thinks that perhaps the halacha is that you need a combination of both. That even Rabbi Yochanan concedes to Reish Lakish that you only violate the Isser of lack of Inu and Yom Kippur if you combine the two. The combination of Hanos HaGoron together with Hanos Meyayim. Then in the same piece in the midst of Yom Kippur, the Mechas Chinuch begins to extrapolate to other possible areas of halacha also, where maybe the definitions of achila change slightly, and that's concerning Bichas HaMozon. So we suggest the same type of an idea, that at least Midaraisa, according to most Rishonim, you require not just achila in order to bench, you require Ketei Sviya. Some Rishonim maintain that Yechayev to bench even a Kezayas, that's the view of the Ramban in the third Bechel Brachas, but the Shulchan Aruch paskins, like Tosfos, that Me'ikim Mikra Din, the only Chayev to bench Ben HaTorah, if you have Ketei Sviya, if you ate, and you also, you're satiated as well. So Mechas Chinuch suggests that suffices to be called achila. But when the halacha requires above and beyond just a standard achila, you need achila sheyesh b'sviya. Or in the case of Yom Kippur, you need an achila that breaks the inoy, so then maybe even Rabbi Yochanan can see that you have to reach the higher level in terms of kedei sviya. So here it's interesting that it's possible that Bechsa Mazon and Yom Kippur may have similar definitions in terms of precisely how we define what does constitute an achila, the area of these two areas of halacha. So not everybody agrees that it's Mechas Chinuch. The Sameach, the other Rechavarim will disagree, say, that the definition of Achila is the same, that we only find in Chazal the only distinction between Yom Kippur and other Yisurim, only vis-a-vis the Shir and Einan L'Chadish Me'atzmeinu, such a Chiddush, that the very definition of Achilut changes. So again, also subject to a Machlok. So up until this point, we have three different areas of Halacha where one is clear in the Gemara, that there was a very real difference between Yom Kippur and other Yisurim, that's vis-a-vis the Shir. The second is concerning Shlok Yederach, where the Shekes Aryeh suggests that maybe there is a distinction, and others argue with that, the Mishmos, the Rambam argues with that. And the third is the Chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch, that maybe the definition of Hanos Gorm versus Hanos Meayim may change for Yom Kippur as well. And again, not everybody agrees to that as well. There is another possibility where Yom Kippur may almost break ranks with other Mechalos Asuros, and that's a little bit of a background for this. That's a sugya that appears in a few places in Shas. The original sugya appears in Maseches Chulin, but the Gemara quotes in the beginning of Maseches Git and other places. That's the sugya of Hashtun Behemtun Shal Tzadikim, Ena Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevita Kol Yodam, Tzadikim Atzvan Lekol Shugin. The Gemara says that if Kadosh Baruch Hu watches over great Tzadikim, that even their animals won't violate an Isser. The Gemara tells the famous story about the donkey of Pinchas ben Yoyer, that it wouldn't eat the food because Trumas and Maisas weren't taken off properly, even though it was only Demayim, that there are bother. A lot of lumdus as to why the donkey was so machmer, but the Maisa, that's what the Gemara says, that even the behemoth of the Tzadikim of Kadosh Baruch Hu watches over, Tzadikim Atzman Lekol Shekein, of course the Kadosh Baruch Hu will guard the Tzadikim that they won't violate any Isserim. So Tosfos in a few places quotes the question that it doesn't seem to be correct. The Gemara itself tells stories about very, very great tzaddikim who, by mistake, ended up doing some very various achamurus we all said. They violated Shabbos by mistake. The Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Yishmael. He was once so angry to learn a sugya, he forgot it was Shabbos, and he started to patchkin, started to adjust the flame on his candle, and then gevalt, and he realized it was Shabbos, so he said he has to be a korban chatas. So the Hilig Tanner Rabbi Shmuel, the Hilig Tzadik. So why don't we say Ena Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takol Yodam? So the Tosfos quotes this kash in a few places, and basically in all the places they quote for Rabbeinu Tam the same teretz. Rabbeinu Tam said that if you look carefully in the Gemara, the principle that Hakadosh Baruch Hu protects the tzaddikim from violating Yisurim, even Mishogeg, was only said vis-a-vis Mechalos Asuras. It only applies in terms of Ochus Kashrus, which makes a lot of sense, because Kashrus is something which is a Dovah Shel Gnai, it's a Dovah Maguna, it's something to, your body is now eaten something that's a treif. So if you want to add on what we mentioned before, it's Dovah Metamtim and Saleh, it has some kind of an impact on your Nisham, on your very heart, and soul. So only in those areas of Alochus and Mechalos Asuras do we have that assurance from a Kadosh Baruch Hu that if you such a really great tzaddik, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu won't bring a takola. But Chilul Shabbos, there's no such promise, even though in the hierarchy of halacha, so Shabbos is much more chomer than eating a treif, one's in a seskila and one is not. Nevertheless, in the sugya of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe takola, so kashrus is something that Shabbos doesn't have. That Shabbos doesn't impact your heart and soul in the same way, that's not a davar maguna biyoser to the same extent that kashrus is. So therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu will not necessarily protect you as a great tzaddik from Chilul Shabbos, even though he will assure you that you won't violate halacha of Hilchos Kashrus. That's the basic yisod that Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in a few different places in Shas. And then Tosfos raises a question, according to this view of Rabbeinu Tam, this doesn't seem to be borne out by a sugya that appears in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in the end of the first paragraph of Maseches Rosh Hashanah tells a very, very fascinating story about 1 year Levi, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, he arrived in Bavel. He was coming, I guess, from Ben Hazmanim, so he came to Bavel, and he arrives in Bavel on what, according to the calendar of the Bnei Bavel, was the 11th day of Tishrei. I mean, they had already celebrated Yom Kippur the day before, and everybody was busy building the sukkahs and buying the Luvin Esrei, getting ready, cooking for Yontif, getting all the things ready. And Levi walks in and tells everybody that they're all off, because, in fact, the way the calendar had been set up in Eretz Yisrael, the way the Kiddush HaChodesh, the Bnei Bavel weren't aware of, that the Kiddush HaChodesh that month, Elul turned out to be an extra day. It was 30 days, usually not, but that particular year it was, and therefore everything was off by a day. So it turns out that as Yom Kippur is about to halachically begin, the Bnei Bavel are already eating. They're sitting down and having their post-Yom Kippur, having their breakfast, where they're supposed to be starting Kol Nidrei. So Levi says, Kam bosim tafshila the Bnei Bavel b'yom tzoma de marava. He says how yummy and delicious the food smells in Bavel on the day of Yom Kippur in Eretz Yisrael. Namely, he sounds like he's criticizing them, and he's saying that they're eating the mamash eating on Yom Kippur. So Tosfos has a whole discussion about this. He said, what's going on? How can that be? Are you talking? How can it be that the Bnei Bavel fell in? There's such Helig Tzadikim, Rav and Shmuel, the Helig Amorim and Bavel, How can it be they made such a terrible mistake that they ended up eating by mistake on Yom Kippur, that they miscalculated, they didn't figure out what the right cheshbon was, and they ended up violating an issur chava b'yais, an issur karas b'yais in Yom Kippur? What happened to the assurance, what happened to the promise of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it to Kol Al Yadam? So Tosfos suggests that no, that eating on Yom Kippur wouldn't be part of the parasha of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala, because it's achilas hetev b'zman isur. That means there's nothing intrinsically wrong with the eating on Yom Kippur. We're not advocating eating on Yom Kippur, but it's not the same as kashrus. It says Tosfos, if you eat chaz, eat nevels treifas, that's a davar maguna b'yoyse. That's something that impacts the neshama. That's something that somehow gets internalized into your heart and soul, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect you from. Eating on Yom Kippur, no, it's an issur. I'd say it's not an issur. Chilul Shabbos is also an issur. Chilul Shabbos is more chamorous than eating on Yom Kippur. But nevertheless, in terms of the parsha of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meiva Takala Yedei Tzadikim, the special assurance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu to watch over you is only limited to Machalos Asuros, and Yom Kippur is not tantamount to Machalos Asuros. That's how Rabbi Natan explained that sugya in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. So the truth is that there are other Rishonim who have a whole different take of that sugya in Rosh Hashanah, who wouldn't have been bothered with the question in the first place, including Taisus themselves. Taisus in Maseches Rosh Hashanah has a big problem with that sugya. Taisus says, how you talking? How come Levi didn't stop them? How come Levi didn't make Shreichai Bekayim? And how come he didn't make such a Zamachor? He just said a very simple, critique and said, oh, the food smells good on Yom Kippur. You should have stopped them, make a cold curry that they're eating on Yom Kippur. So Taisus has a fascinating teretz. Taisus says that they weren't doing anything wrong, because since according to their calculation, it had come out that Yom Kippur was actually the day before, when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh, we apply the principle of Atem Afilu Mutim, that if the Beis Din makes a mistake as to when to calculate Rosh Chodesh, so b'di'evet, whatever the Beis Din says works. Atem, Ashatikra Osam B'Mo'adam, Osam is written B'Chosh, it's written without a Avav, and therefore, Kiddush says Atem, whatever you say goes. So since the Beis Din above all was Kaveya that yesterday was Yom Kippur, Apidin, yesterday was Yom Kippur. I, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, will convey that tomorrow is Yom Kippur. So for the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, it's Yom Kippur. So there are two different Yom Kippurs. There's Yom Kippur for the Beis Din above them, and Yom Kippur for the Beis Din of Eretz Yisrael. And that's all nichlo in the parish of Atem Afilu Mutim. According to that Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah, it comes out that the question of Rabbi Natan was not a question to begin with. So they didn't do anything wrong. They didn't do any Yisr. Tosfos and Rabbi Natan in Gittin and of Zion were assuming that they did a terrible Yisr. Igloy Milsel and Mefret. Turns out that they were in fact eating on Yom Kippur. And Tosfos has to explain away why somehow they didn't receive that promise, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala. According to Tosfos and Rosh Hashanah, they didn't do anything wrong in the first place. So that Tosfos and Rosh Hashanah is a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. Sheikh Asari in his Peirush on Rosh Hashanah, Tori Heaven, says he doesn't understand what Tosfos means. So that din of Atem Afilu Mutim, Atem Afilu Mazidim, Atem Afilu Shayim, that applies to the Beis Din that's authorized to be Mekadosh, the Chodesh. The din is that Beis Din has to listen to the Eidim. The Eidim come, testify when it's the new moon, and the Beis Din is supposed to listen to them, interrogate them, and then declare when it's going to be Rosh Chodesh. If Beis Din didn't do that, the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael that's qualified, authorized, and Kadosh Chodesh, for whatever reason didn't do that. They decided not to listen to the Eidim are lying, they made a mistake, whatever happened, and the Beis Din anyway went ahead with Kadosh Chodesh, so the Chodesh is Chal. So then Rosh Chodesh is Ein Lan Al Masha Beis Din Osa. That's the famous mission, Rosh Hashanah, about Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua had a machlokes as to when Rosh Hashanah was supposed to be, and Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, so he had the ultimate say, ultimate authority to be Mekadosh HaSechodesh, so he decreed that Rabbi Yeshua should come and visit him carrying his money and his walking stick on his Yom Kippur, and Rabbi Yeshua's Yom Kippur, to indicate that Rabbi Yeshua's Yom Kippur was not really the correct Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Yeshua had such chavish tadas, he felt terrible, he's going to be mechal Yom Kippur, because he knew that he was right, and he thought that he was right in his terms of his calculation. So he went to Rabbi Akiva to get an eitzah. So Rabbi Akiva told him, don't worry, atem afilu mutim, atem afilu shayim, that even though you're probably right, in terms of kapish maya, literally kapish maya, in terms of the heavens, in terms of the moon, you're right, it doesn't matter. The Kiddush HaChodesh depends whatever the Beis Din says. So the Sheikh Asayeh says that svara is correct, that din is correct when we're dealing with the Beis Din that's supposed to be Kiddush HaChodesh, if they goofed, they made a mistake, so then b'di'evad the Kiddush HaChodesh is chal. Here, the Beis Din in Bavel, their job was not to be Kiddush HaChodesh, they're not even supposed to be Kiddush HaChodesh in Bavel. The job of the Beis Din in Bavel is just to figure out what had happened in Eretz Yisrael. So if they got the wrong information, they miscalculated, they thought it was the wrong Kiddush HaChodesh, that's just mamash atos, that's a mistake, like any other mistake. So we have a mistake, you have to rectify the mistake. That's not subject to the gzeiras hakasav of atem afilu mutim. So that answer that Tosfos gives in Rosh Hashanah is really a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. The Sheikh Asayeh has a whole other way of learning Pshat Nagamah. The Sheikh Asayeh says that, in fact, the Bnei Bavel were incorrect, the Bnei Yisrael were right, Levi was right, So why didn't Levi scream at them, and why didn't they listen, and why did they continue to eat on the day that was supposedly at Aleph, but in reality was Yud? So Shenasayi says, because the din is, Levi was only a Nerechot, and Nerechot is not Nemen Bisurin against the Rov. The Rov is that most years, Elul is not 30 days. Most years, Elul is only 29 days. So the Shenasayi says, He says that Nerechot is not believed against the Chazakah, to change the status quo. The Gemara Kedusha that pay says that Ruba v'Chazakah, Ruba Adif, a Rov is greater than a Chazakah. So a Kavachayim, Nerechot is not believed against the Rov. So when Levi told them that today's Yom Kippur, they said, we don't believe. You have no Nermodus. That's Yom Kippur. There's a 90% chance that it's not Yom Kippur, and that's why they ate. Wow, each one of these terutzim is more mechush than the next. But the bottom line is that Rabbi Netam thought that the Bnei Bavel Taka did an Aveira. The Taka ate, it was b'shege, it was a mistake, but Lamai said that Goyim also they ate on Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Netam was bothered. How could they eat on Yom Kippur? Why did the Baruch stop this from happening? So the answer is because it was only a chivas, it was a chivas het, it was mana iser, and you don't get any promise from the Rabban Shalom that you're not going to eat on Yom Kippur. Trade just the Rabban Shalom will provide for you a promise, but Chil Shabbos eating Yom Kippur, that's not going to happen. What is the Bira Dov? What's the Pshat in this Rabbeinu Tam that somehow the Sugya of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Takola, is limited to only Kashrus, and Yom Kippur is not even like Kashrus vis-a-vis this Sugya? So if we wanted to put a little bit more of a spin on, a little bit more of a Lumbish Lingo the way you used to, so maybe we could suggest as follows, that perhaps what Rabbeinu Tam is really driving at is that there is a fundamental difference between the Isser of eating on Yom Kippur in contrast to Macholos Asuros, in the sense of one is an Isser Gav and one is an Isser Cheftza. That Macholos Asuros may very well be Isser Cheftza. There's something which is poisonous, something which is spiritually poisonous about the food. So that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanos on you. The Baruch Hu doesn't want your stomach to have to get pumped, doesn't want your neshama to have to get pumped out. So if a person eats Chazer, albeit B'shoyeg, so that's still a problem. So the marshal, a person consumes poison, Khalil. He ends up drinking poison by mistake. So he comes to the emergency room. So they said, Gavalt, why'd you drink the poison? He said, no, it was a mistake. He said, okay, good. Baksham, you go home. You don't have to pump your stomach. It's ridiculous. Whether he meant to eat the poison or not, at the end of the day, the poison's got to get out of his system. So when you do certain aveiras get into your kishkas, they get into your neshama, into your lave, and they have to be taken out. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanas on you, and if you're a big tzad, we don't know. We assume everyone's a big tzaddik. We wish everybody chesiv v'chesim tov. Everyone's nichtavim liat l'chaim tovim l'shalom. But in terms of the sugya of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Tako, I don't know. You have to figure out who really is the tzaddik. Only the Rosh Hashanah knows who's the tzaddik, who's not the tzaddik. So, but in the realm of Machlos HaSuras, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will watch over you. Maybe the Isser of Yom Kippur is legamri, different kind of Isser. Maybe the Isser of Yom Kippur is not Isser Chavtza. There's nothing wrong with a piece of meat on Yom Kippur. There's nothing traitor about a piece of bread on Yom Kippur. There's a gavra. You as a gavra are not let in Yom Kippur. May I, why is it that the issue of eating on Yom Kippur is formulated as such that it's a gav and not an Issur Chefza? So this may have less to do with Yom Kippur proper, but more to do with almost a more fundamental question. How do we view, in general, Issur Zman? When you have something which is only temporary in nature, an Issur that's here today and gone tomorrow, so is that by definition an Issur Gavra, or maybe that's also an Issur Chefza? So maybe that's what Rabbeinu Tam is really driving at, that achilas hetta, bisman iser, doesn't lend itself to being an iser chefza. Poison means poison. Poison means that there's something also, it's going to remain also the other blood. Machol nedarim is a little bit of an exception to that rule, but nedarim is a little bit different altogether because of the properties of hektish, and you created the iser yourself. So the nedarim may not necessarily be the biggest raya for our discussion. But in terms of treifas, so if a person has a piece of chazan, the chazan is going to remain also the yalam void, plus as an iser chefza. That's something wrong with the object itself. Eating on Yom Kippur, the same food in a few hours from now. Right now it's mutari. In 24 hours from now, if you eat something, you chayv karis. And in 48 hours from now, if you eat something, it's hetter gomer. So it's a very strange kind of a poison. It's only 24 hours a year it becomes poison. No, it's not poison. Even on Yom Kippur, it's not poison. There's a din. You as a gavra are not allowed to partake of food on Yom Kippur. But the cheps of the food, there's nothing really wrong with it. If that is the case, that this is part of a general, a global question in terms of Isurei Zman, so then maybe we could test that. Maybe we can look and run an experiment and see what's the status of other Isurei Zman. Other Isurei Zman fall into those kinds of categories as well. So there is an Osameach, in Uchas Chomitz Matzo, but the Osameach claims that this very nekud about how the halacha views Isurei Zman is ultimately a machlekes between the Bavli and the Rishalmi. The Osameach explains that there is a sugya in the beginning of the second parak of Maseches Pesachim, where the Gemara goes through all the different Macholos Asuros, which one of them are also Biachila as well as Bahana'ah, and which ones are permissible Bahana'ah. So the starting point, at least according to Rabbi Abo in the Sugya is that if it's also Biachila, then it's also Bahana'ah. Rabbi Abo learns that from Sukkim, Neveil, etc. There's a source for this, that the starting point, the baseline of all Macholos Asuros is if you can't eat it, that you can't be nana from it. Now, there may be more exceptions to the rule than the rule, but that's at least the starting point according to Rabbi Abba. So the Gemara raises the question in Maseches Pesachim under Chabez, and the Gemara asks the question, said, what about Chadash? Chadash to eat new grain, so before the Hakravas HaOmer, so that is a Nisa D'Araisa, whether that applies to Chutzlot, not a Chutzlot, that's really a very, very loaded question, not for now, but at least in theory, the Issa of Chadash, so Chadash we know is also B'Achila, but it's Mutar B'Hanoah. Mishnah says explicitly Chadash is permissible B'Hanoah. So ask the Gemara, how can it be, according to Rabbi Abba, what's the source that Chadash is permissible B'Hanoah? So the Bavli quotes Xer Sakosov. The Pasuk says, Lachem, Ketirchem, Lachem Sholei, whole Shtikot Torah, it's a special Pasuk. Don't ask any Kash, it's Xer Sakosov, that Chadash is Mutar B'Hanoah. But the Rishalmi in Maseches Pesachim asks the identical question and gives a very, very different answer. The Rishalmi says, what do you do with Chadash? How come Chadash is Mutar B'Hanoah? It was a shiny chadash to cover lozman. The chadash is different because it's only a set time. Chadash is not also forever. It's also for a few months, a couple of months from now. All the chadash is going to be mutter. So the Rishalmi says a type of an issa that lends itself to becoming permissible after a certain amount of time, by definition, is not subject to being called echad issa achila v'echad issa hanah. What does that mean? So the Yosemech explains that when you're dealing with an issa chefza, so then the extension to hanah makes a lot of sense. And issa chefza means that there's something poisonous about this item. So that's what Rabbi Abel tells us. If it's poisonous vis-a-vis achila, then it's spiritually poisonous vis-a-vis hanoah as well, unless we have some reason, some exercise also to the contrary. So chadosh, in theory, should have been also be achila, should have been also be hanoah, and we need a pasuk to be matre. But the Rishalmi says no. The Rishalmi says that chadosh is in its own world. Chadosh is an issa kavul ozman, and since it's kavul ozman, therefore, it's not even up for discussion. We don't even have to address the issue of Rabbi Bar Rebel. It doesn't even apply to Chadash, because Chadash is something that's a davar hakavul ozman, and therefore, by very definition, it's considered to be an Isser Gavra, not an Isser Chefza, and Isser Gavra are not shayach to speak about Echad Isser Achila ve'Echad Isser Hanah. So that beer of the Yosemeach now extends to perhaps not just the Yom Kippur, but it may touch on many, many other Yisurim as well. The primary concern, Lon Maseches Pesachim, is how does that impact on Chametz? Is that taking a stand on whether chametz is a disagav, chametz is a disachavtza? Is chametz called the davar kavul ozman? Not kavul ozman, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, chametz over Pesach. Okay, we're not learning Pesachim right now. I think she was learning Pesachim a couple of years from now. So when you get to Kalsha, get to Oral Abosa, you have to try to figure out how the Osamech impacts on the entire sugi of chametz. But basically, the underlying message of the Osamech is that this question, whether Yisurei Zmanim, Ozmanim, or Yisurei Gav, or Yisurei Chavtza, is a loaded question. It impacts Chadosh, it impacts Chometz. Later Poskim suggests that maybe Rav Jolti writes to the Sefer Mishnas Yavetz, maybe this is the source for the entire discussion of the later Poskim after about time zones. If you have Am in one place and Erev Pesach, and Chometz is in another place, do you follow the Gavi, you follow the Chefza? This becomes a very, very, very complicated kind of a Shaila. So one of the examples of an Issa Zmani that may be part of the story is the issue of Yom Kippur. That maybe that's the reason why Yom Kippur is different. Maybe that's the reason why Rami Natan is comfortable to say that a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't, no promises, no guarantees that you're not going to eat in Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is closer in model to Yisurei Gavra than it is to Yisurei Chefza. Is there enough Kamina Ladina from that statement? Is there enough Kamina Ladina from this Rabbi Natan? I mean, it's enough Kamina in Shamachim, it's enough Kamina of whether Kodesh Baruch Hu will protect you or not, but does this mean anything for us in terms of whether Yom Kippur ultimately is similar to Bechol Sasuros, in that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will almost hold you back, or is it fundamentally different? So there is a famous discussion that the Charenim have concerning the eating on Yom Kippur, particularly concerning the feeding of children on Yom Kippur. So we know that the Mishnah tells us in the end of Maseches Yuma that young children are not supposed to fast on Yom Kippur. It's sakana for young children to fast. And the Mishnah describes what are the appropriate ages in terms of chinuch for young children. But clearly, very young children are obviously eating on Yom Kippur. And if they're eating in Yom Kippur, most probably somebody's feeding them in Yom Kippur. Very possibly someone's feeding them in Yom Kippur. And this raises a question. The Poskim want to know, what right do I have to feed the child in Yom Kippur, even though the child is not technically obligated in mitzvahs? The Gemara in the end of Maseches Yevamos tells us, we derive from Sukkim lo sochlum, lo sachilum, there's an issa d'araisa, a hazik gedolim al ketanim. I'm not allowed to cause a child to violate an aveira. I'm not allowed to feed treifas to a child. I'm not allowed to have a child actively kobi michal Shabbos for me. If I have a baby baby Kohen, I'm not allowed to take him for a shpatzir into the basic kavaros. I'm not allowed to do anything that actively causes the child to do an aveira, even though the child per se, from their vantage point, is potter from mitzvahs. So come to later, Achareim, and ask, what right do we have to feed a child on Yom Kippur? Tepuklei, that even though he is not chayiv in the mitzvah, but it's my problem. Isn't that a violation of lo sochel? In the same way that I can't feed them chazir, so I shouldn't be able to feed them on Yom Kippur. So the Minchas Chinuch suggests a chiddush gadol. He says, Taka is correct. The question is better than the answer. There is no real heter. So why does the Mishnah say it's mutter? Well, the Minchas Chinuch says it's going to be sakana. It's pikuach nefesh. If you don't feed the child, he's not going to eat. Chalila, something may happen. So the whole heter feeding the child is based on pikuach nefesh. According to the Minchas Chinuch, it would be an unbelievable chiddush. Let's say a child comes running into shul a minute, you know, right before an ila, and he says he needs a candy. So I have to ask him, you need a candy? Is it pikuach nefesh? He says, I'm dying, I need a candy. So if Chalila is really pikuach nefesh, got to give him the candy. Probably not. It's probably the 85th candy that he's had since Musaf. So he's probably, nothing's going to happen to him. We'd probably be better off without the extra candy. So according to Minchas Chinuch, now I got to give him the candy. If you give him the candy, it's a deraisa of lo sochlum. I don't think, and Marshall, that's not what happens. I don't think that we sit around and make a chedron with our kids every time we feed them in Yom Kippur to make sure that it's a suffer pikuach nefesh. It doesn't sound that way. So what's pshat? So other acharim suggest that maybe the question doesn't really even get off the ground. That maybe the din of lo sochlum, the din of not feeding the child, a davar aser, maybe that doesn't apply to Yom Kippur altogether. Why is that? So some acharim work around the following. That the Isser of eating Yom Kippur is not even formulated in the Torah as an Isser of eating. It really all starts as the Inisa V'Stav Shaseichem. It really is formulated originally in the Chumash as a mitzvah essay. Then the Torah says, and by the way, if you violate this din, so then Kicho HaNefesh Shelos Uneh B'Yatzim Yomzeh Yechayv Karis also. So there is a lav, there is Malchus also, but almost everything emanates from the essay. So maybe one can argue that when you have everything that's emanating from an essay, that by definition is not really chefza oriented. That it's really a mitzvah titus. That's the real name of the game in Yom Kippur. Yom Mechuyev Tves is a mitzvah essay to fast in Yom Kippur. And then the Torah says, and by the way, if you don't do it, that's a lot. If you don't do it, you have kars, etc. But everything all hinges around, all revolves around the mitzvah essay. If that's the case, so perhaps the mitzvah essay doesn't really lend itself to lo sochlum. Lo sochlum is you shouldn't feed treifa food to the child. I'm not feeding treifa food to the child. I'm feeding something to the child that the mitzvah satara dictate he should be careful about, but he's not chayv mitzvah, so he's not mechuyev this mitzvah. So therefore, the whole issa doesn't even get off the ground. It's like mashal ma David Amar. What we're saying now is a svar and a love of the araisa. This idea does appear in an earlier poskim, albeit on a much lower level. It appears in the Beis Yosef in Chushabes. The Beis Yosef raises the question whether a person is permitted to give a child to eat or drink on Friday night before Kiddush. So many shuls do that. Many shuls make Kiddush in shul, and it's not Kiddush Bakum Suda. Nobody's being Yotze Kiddush. And we end up giving the wine, the grape juice, to the child to drink. So the Beis Yosef asks the question, what right do we have to feed the child? It's like feeding the child treif, now that I eat before Kiddush. So why isn't that a problem? So the Beis Yosef says, that's not a problem. He says, because it's not also to drink before Kiddush. There's a mitzvah to make Kiddush, and the mitzvah of making Kiddush carries with it all the dinim that should be the first thing that you partake of. Kiddush wine should be the first thing you drink on Friday night. So if you drink, you eat a drink before Kiddush, that's always like a bittul of the mitzvah of Kiddush in its entirety. So the bittul on mitzvah of Kiddush, you wouldn't say safin biyadayim. You wouldn't say asla achil biyadayim on that. So again, the Beis Yosef is talking on a much, much lower scale issa. He's talking about the issa, the rabban, of eating before Kiddush. That's lagamri, a different type of issa, but it's the same idea. So in Sefer Yikrei Kodesh, Tzivos Frank quotes some Acharonim who put this whole picture together. He'll say that maybe what those Acharonim are saying vis-a-vis Yom Kippur, or what the Beis Yosef is saying vis-a-vis Shabbos, it's all kind of the same idea, that these kinds of Isurim that are more essay-oriented rather than Lavim-oriented are more Isurei Gavra rather than Isurei Cheft. So therefore they don't lend itself to this Isur of L'Hachal B'Yadayim. So again, so we have a few possible differences, or some similarities. So we start off in terms of the Shi'ur, that the Gemara is explicitly. Then we spoke a little bit in terms of the Shagasai, in terms of Shlok Yederech. Then we spoke a little bit in terms of Anos Garen versus Anos Me'ayim. Then we spoke a little bit in terms of Rabbi Natam and some of the possible applications of Rabbi Natam concerning Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe the Kala Yodim. There is another area where Yom Kippur almost touches a little bit on other areas of Halacha and may deviate slightly. And that's something that we mentioned at the very beginning of this year. We spoke about the fact that there's a halacha Moshe Mesinai that in order to be chayav in other areas of halacha for achila, you have to have a kezayis betoch kedei achilas pras. Within a certain amount of time, you would take to eat X amount of bread. A pras is significantly more than a kezayis. So you could eat a kezayis at a very comfortable pace, and if you eat it within the amount of time for kedei achilas pras, so then you have violated the isser, whatever that isser is, or that works for you in the realm of mitzvahs as well. You have a person to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, so the Gemara says you have to eat a kezayis and matzah, v'chdechel is pras. So So the person sits at the Seder and eats very comfortably a kezayis, so he will for sure get it b'chdei achilas bras. There's no need to gobble down, rush. As long as you eat at a normal standard pace, so you're well within the limits of kezayis b'chdei achilas bras. Some people are very machmer what the kezayis is, and some people are very machmer in how short the kezayis achilas bras is. So they take the two together. They take the biggest kezayis with the shortest kezayis achilas bras. So you don't have to do that because it's a ratio. Kezayis achilas bras is related to ratio shia to what the size of kezayis is. So if your kezayis is this big, then your kezayis achilas bras is much longer also. If your kezayis is this big, then your kezayis achilas bras is also a little bit shorter as well. So again, the halacha is clear that it's called achila if it's a kezayis b'chdei achilas bras. This din of kezayis l'techilas bras, so this extends over, even though the shiur of kezayis doesn't apply, but the shiur of l'techilas bras spills over to Yom Kippur as well, and spills over to other areas of halacha as well. One particular area of halacha is in terms of brachas. So when it comes to a bracha rishona, so there's no shiur of kezayis altogether, you have to make a bracha rishona even on the smallest amount of food. But in order to recite a bracha achrona, either b'chamazon, al-michim, and b'fashas, whatever the case may be, so that the shiur is, for achila, is kezayis b'chdei achilas bras. So the Mishnah Melech has a sofik milchus brachas. How exactly do you calculate kedei achilas pras? Is kedei achilas pras an absolute objective number? Means there's an X amount of bread that it would be eaten in X amount of time. That's kedei achilas pras. Or do I say that each food depends on that particular food? So there are some foods that you can eat much, much quicker. Other foods that you have to eat much, much slower. So does kedei achilas pras shift? Does it change according to the type of food that you're having? So the original question the Mishnah Melech deals with is a person is drinking hot coffee or drinking hot tea. It's interesting that in the Rishonim you didn't find any shadows about coffee or tea because the Rishonim never saw coffee, never saw tea. So in the Redi, but the early Achronim, when coffee and tea made its way over from the different parts of the New World, from Asia, so then all of a sudden the post comes up to begin to discuss all the shadows of coffee and tea. So the Mishnah Melech raises the shadow, if you're drinking a hot drink, so what exactly is the shiur? Do we say that the shiur is whatever the objective shiur is, whatever that number is, or do we say no, since it's dark of a kach to drink this particular drink at a much slower pace, so as long as you're within the realm of normalcy of that particular food, so the shiur becomes very subjective. So Mishnah Melech starts being raised back and forth what the din is going to be. So one of the rayas that the post can discuss is that the Gemara Maseches Krisos talks about a din of, it's a din mid Rabbanon, that if a person eats a certain amount of food that's tamei, so the food can be metameh him. Min HaTorah, food can be metameh a person, but mid Rabbanon, if you eat X amount of food, it can make the person tamei. So the Gemara says, you're only tamei if you eat X amount of food, b'chdei achilas pras. So the Gemara's whole discussion about if a baby is nursing and the milk that the baby is nursing happens to be tummy dick milk, did the baby become tummy or not? So one of the stars that the Gemara puts forth is that, well, it's not going to be kedei achilas bras. It takes a baby a long time to finish the nursing, so it's probably not going to be kedei achilas bras. So the Achronim are bothered with the kasha, but that's the darker b'kach. That's the normal way. That's the way babies consume food. So isn't that a raya brua to one of the tzadim of the Mishnah Melech? So the Aruch Lener, Maseches Krisos, suggests that maybe there are almost two different types of halachas of a kedei achilas pras. This kedei achilas pras as an absolute objective criteria in terms of defining what's called the ma'is achilin halacha. And then this kedei achilas pras as a way of measuring, did you really get a geshmak? Did you really enjoy what you were doing? Is that a normal, good way of tasting? You really, really had a significant enjoyment from your experience, from the il achila ashtia experience. So the Aruch Lener suggests that when it comes to tumah, we're not trying to figure out whether the baby enjoyed what it was doing or not. We're just simply trying to figure out, did it undergo a ma'is achila? Was there a form of ma'is achila enough to be metameh the baby? So the answer is, you go with an absolute objective shiur. There's an X amount of number, kedei achilas pras, the amount of eat, X amount of bread. The baby's not eating bread. The baby's drinking milk. It doesn't matter that the shiur is an absolute objective shiur in halacha, and it doesn't change no matter what the daika b'kach is. But when it comes to chesbrachas, what is it that the halacha is you have to have the kedei achilas pras? Because there's an absolute objective shear of achila, or no, is that if you have a little bit of food now, a little bit of food now later, a little food 10 hours later, you never really enjoy, you never really got a geshmak enough out of the food to be required to recite a bracha achrona. So when it comes to hilchos brachas, Yochanan suggests that maybe it's the same number, kedei achilas pras, but it's measured more subjective rather than objective. So if that's the case, that there may be almost a brisket, there are two kinds of kedei achilas pras. There's kedei achilas pras in absolute hilchos, the tumah v'tahara, that's measured in a very, very specific manner and goes across the board, it's just an objective shiur and finish. Or do I say no, that it depends on what the daka b'kach is, so it may depend what area of halacha we're in. Are we in a absolute criteria of achila, or are we more in a way of almost measuring what Hanoah is? So the Chanera suggests that maybe Yom Kippur would be closer to Hilchos Brachos than to Hilchos Tumas Ochlin. Why is that? Because in Hilchos Yom Kippur, the real goal is, the real question we're asking ourselves is, did the person break his Inui, or is he still in the state of Inui? We're not even really asking, did he do Achila? Because quite frankly, Achila is Kazayis. We're not even in the Parsha, not even the Shiva Achila. According to Hefti Acharonim, all the Din were Kalagambri different. So we're not even talking the language of Achila. We're talking the language of Bilti Inui, the breaking of Inui. So maybe the Shia of breaking of Inui may be different than the Shia of objective Achila. And therefore, when it comes to Yom Kippur, it may actually depend on the food itself. So if you have a hot cup of tea spread out over a lot of time, that could maybe be a problem. That may be considered to be eating, drinking something within the shir. That may also explain the sheet to say Rambam. The Rambam has a unique sheet against many of the Rishonim, where the Rambam says that when you cheshbon a liquid for Yom Kippur, so the din is that if you drink my lugma, if you drink a cheekful, that's the shir for kares. So the Rambam says that how much time do you have to drink a cheekful? So the Rambam says, b'chdei shtiyas revias, that the amount of time it takes you to drink a revias. So most of the Rishonim say that's not true. Most of the Rishonim say the shir is kedei achilas pras. So the Achoner asked the same question we asked before against the Rambam. How can the Rambam say that liquid, somehow the shir changes, it's not kedei achilas pras? The Gemara is talking about milk. The Gemara is talking about tumas ochlin, vis-a-vis milk. So milk is a liquid. So how can the Rambam say that the shir for liquids is different? So the Achoner says the same pizman, that when you deal with huchas tuma, so huchas tuma, there's an absolute chikla yav shir called kedei kazayis v'techilas pras. Don't ask any kashas. I don't care whether this is dark of a kach. I don't care whether it's a solid, whether it's a liquid. Kach namer halacha. But when you're dealing with halachas such as Yom Kippur, such as Hilchos Brachos, which are much more of a reflection of was there the sufficient hanoah or not, so then you have to ask yourself a more down-to-earth question, not a pure objective halachic shiur. Is the person enjoying what they're doing or not? So the answer is, well, the enjoyment for foods and drinks is different. The enjoyment, the shiur of enjoyment for a bowl of ice cream and a cup of tea and a piece of cake are not necessarily the same. So then the halacha is going to fluctuate depending on whether it's being measured as the proper shiur of hanoah or not. So that idea that according to the halacha Ner, we're now placing Yom Kippur much closer into the realm of Hilchos Brachos, this again goes in sync with some of the other shittas that we've been discussing up to now, that Yom Kippur may very well be in its own world. So basically, just to summarize, we have really one shaila. One fundamental shaila is just how similar, how different Yom Kippur is from other areas that we find Achila plays a role. And this question keeps on repeating itself in many, many different ways. The answer is not necessarily the same in each one. That each one, you have to judge on its own merits of the sugya. So you have to learn the sugya of the shirim, and you have to learn the sugya of shalat yedera hachivan, you have to learn the sugyas of hanoaz yor and hanoaz meyav, you have to learn the sugya of enech v'shabrochem evi takol, you have to learn the sugya of techilas pras, and try to figure out what the answer to all these questions is, just how close, just how different is Yom Kippur to other areas of halacha where achila plays a significant role. I wish everybody a gemach simetov, and have a good, wonderful yom.